I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hey guys, welcome to the Outlander After Show on AfterBuzz TV. We're talking Season 5, Episode 12, Never My Love, the last episode of the season. Jeez Louise. I'm Adrian Snow, and to my right, if I do this correct, I have Lee Broadway.
Hey everybody, I want to shout out to Blacklanders for joining us tonight. Hope you're doing well.
Yes, and then right below her, I have Angel Taylor.
Hey guys, great to be here. Final show.
Yeah, and then right below me, I have Rachel Goodman.
Hey everyone, I've got books 5 and 6 flanking me, so I'm really excited to talk about the differences between the show and the books. I'm also really sad. It flew by, and I'm sad that we are now back in Droughtlander again, and I'm excited to talk about this episode.
All right, well, let's get into it while I pet the cat that just came and said hi that you can't see. First thought. Rachel?
Well, yeah, what I loved is this idea of safety. And I know we're going to get into this more deeply, but just the fact that, first of all, I love that song by The Association. I am a huge Association fan. And the fact that she, even in Claire's darkest moments, or one of her darkest moments, even though she was going through something insanely traumatic, she was still able to call on the safety that she feels with Jamie, even if he wasn't actually there. And that ending shot, I absolutely loved this episode. I really appreciated what they did with dissociation. And I'm a writer too. And one of my characters went through exactly what Claire went through. And so I doubly appreciate it for that reason as well.
All right, Angel?
I thought this show was obviously, it was devastating to watch. I did like how, Bree was able to relate to her mom's, rape. I thought that was interesting. Claire's rape was like Bree's rape to a power of 5 in however many men. And it was just heartbreaking to see that play out and the way it did and the abuse on women. So that was just, it was terrible, but I guess like it's stuff like that that calls awareness. And I like how they put the tag at the end about abuse and there's a hotline just in case there's someone watching it and it touched them in a personal way.
Mm-hmm. And Lee.
I enjoyed the show. It was one of my favorite episodes. And it appears that fate intervened because if you recall this scene in the 1960s when the two police officers came to the door and shared with Claire that Bree and Roger and the baby had been killed in a traffic accident. And I think the fact that they were not able to return was fate intervening and protecting them from something worse, in my opinion. And I like the idea that the family is back together again, perhaps not in perfect circumstances, perhaps not where they all expected to be or the direction they thought their life would take. But I think the idea that the family is back together again was very appealing to me. I think they all enjoyed, coming together as a family unit. And, once again, they're Fraser strong.
Yes. I didn't like the episode. I could lie, but you guys, I'm not a liar. I tell the truth. I didn't like the episode, but it did grow on me towards the end. I think the decision they made to change some things from the book and to kind of, I guess the main decision, which, and we can talk about it in page to screen, was they turned it into a gang rape, which I take it was not in the books. Is that correct? Or was it
was a little, okay, so she was still raped by multiple men and multiple people confronted her. It didn't seem like it was, like the way they implied it in the show was that every single person did it. And that is not the sense that I got in the book.
Okay.
Still terrifying and awful, but they didn't quite say either way in the show. But Lionel basically said, who's next? And then, everyone lined up.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And so that, and then along with the disassociation with the cut to the 60s, it just didn't quite work for me. And I understand what they were trying to do, and it made more sense when that part of the episode was over. But I don't know. Sometimes I feel like the way people handle assault in television, as kind as they try to be, it still doesn't quite, I don't even want to say hit the mark. It seems like it's, I don't know. it seems right or realistic. It seems like it's played up for dramatic effect, and I feel like they handled it better with Jamie. I feel like they handled it better with Bray, and I don't think they handled it well with Claire. So, but let's get into it.
I completely understand what you're saying, and I get that because it's really hard, especially with dissociation. I'm just going to say that I actually loved it, just to take the other point of view, even though obviously I respect that it's such a subjective thing. And but I loved it. And I think that to me, like, I loved how it was so, I think it was just the fact that she kept seeing Jamie. And also, I think part of it is the fact that we got to see Jamie in the future, even though it was not real. I don't know. I loved that, even though it was to make up for something terrible that was happening.
Yeah.
Can I just go on record saying that I was right about it was a who when they went through the stone and Jimmy ran off and they were like, what the heck? You guys were thinking they were in the wrong place, but it was, of course they were in the wrong place. They didn't really go anywhere, but it was the who, because it was Ian. And Ian was like, oh, you guys are back? So I was like, yay. Like, I was kind of understanding what was going on to where Jimmy, the son, was familiar with a person that he ran to, because they ended up going back to where they started.
Well, let's start off with them, with Roger and Bree. So yeah, they don't go anywhere. They end up, they thought of home and then they were home, and I was like, oh, huh, cute. Like, so they end up back in the 1700s with their family, and they immediately are thrown into the Claire missing, and just, it was so brief. And I kind of wish we had gotten to really lay it out more. And I assume that they'll attempt to go back again right before the American Revolution. But how do we feel about just the brief moment we had with Roger and Bree this episode?
So I loved the fact that they were still there, especially with what happened to Claire. I think now it was more important than ever that she was with her daughter again, too, as well as Jamie. So it happened to work out for the best. It was such a departure from book 5, too, and what actually happens in book 6, that a lot of people, like, I'm part of a couple of Outlander groups on Facebook, and a lot of people were actually predicting that they landed right back where they left because of the fact that they were thinking about home, and here they were back home. And so I also appreciate that. And I feel like what I felt like was missing in last episode was the fact that in book 5, Roger actually makes the decision to stay. So they never go back to the stones at that point. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like in place of that character arc that we see with Roger in the book, we did get it, because his subconscious and his wish to go home brought him back home, and we see what that means to him now. So I think that we still got it, just in a different way. And I love that they did not go back now. I appreciated that.
Yeah,
I agree. You know, there's a saying that goes, home is where the heart is. And I believe their hearts were still in the 1700s, even though they, in their minds, wanted to go back to the 1960s. I believe that they had such a strong connection, obviously, to their family, that they really subconsciously, as you said, didn't want to leave. And so they essentially willed themselves back into the 1700s. I think that, again, I mentioned earlier, you know, because of what the scene portrayed when the police officers came and said they were all killed in an accident on their way to Claire's home, I think fate intervened and protected them from a worse fate. And so I believe that they were really meant to stay back in the 1700s and whatever their mission is, to complete that mission.
I just want to say too that, and I'm reading the chat and following along. So shout out to Gracie.
Yes, it is popping tonight.
Yeah. But one thing that Robin O'Neill mentioned is that the callback to the to hearing that Brianna and Roger had died in the accident is Claire's own parents, because if we remember from season one and in book one, that's one of the first things we learned about her, is that they died in a car accident and that she had also been in a car accident at some point too.
Yeah, that's good to know. And I also think it was one of those things where it was kind of her body trying to understand like why they weren't there, in terms of that if they had gone through the stone successfully, she would have never seen them again. You know, that would have been the end of her time with them. So it was all, it was nice, because there's one point in the episode where I was like, oh my God, how much trauma can you put one family through? Like I was like, Jamie's been raped, Bree's been raped, Roger was hanged, now Claire's been raped. It gets to be a point where it's like, maybe we should, like, I don't know, give them like a year off, just to kind of breathe. Like, I think the next 4 years until the American Revolution could just be straight chill, you know? Let's just keep it real chill. You know, even if that's just, we skip the 1776 by episode four, season six, that's fine. But it's a lot as a viewer, as I'm sure as an actor, it was just a lot. The past 5-4 years have been a lot. So that's definitely one of the moments where I was like, God, it's just never ending. And even when you think that they might have one moment of peace where they can just chill, run a beach, gets kidnapped. I mean, like, I get it. It's a traumatic story. It's a dramatic book. It's a dramatic TV show. But respites are there for a reason. Do we have any other final thoughts on Roger and Bree?
Not on Roger and Bree per se. We have someone in a chat, Merle Ortega, that introduced the question that I had myself about that whole scene between Claire and the guy from the future. Was that Otter Tooth? Merle
Wendigo.
Specifically. No. Can you all describe the scene on the show that happened with Claire? I know she was gang raped, but I didn't understand the Indian that came from the future, and I don't understand like what that was about. So what was the exchange there? I mean, I know he wanted gemstones so he can go back, but who was he?
So they didn't touch on it as much in the show as they did in book five. But I can just say that basically there's a group of people, of Native Americans specifically, who traveled back in time together, and he was part of that party. So he does know Robert, AKA Ottertooth. And that's where the connection is. But just like it was mentioned in the chat, I'm so sorry, I'm not going to be able to catch who said it. But the fact that Jamie specifically mentioned that there were no Native Americans that they killed. So hint, hint.
Mm-hmm. And who is Ringo Starr?
What? Ringo Starr is the drummer of the Beatles.
Oh, and so also that was not, there was another reference, Cat Cradle and the Man in the Moon. Yeah, he was singing,
something Cat Stevens.
Yeah, Cat Stevens.
Yeah. I always get Cat Stevens confused because he also changed his name, I believe. But
let me double check. And
Harry Nilsson, Cats in the Cradle and the Silver Spoon, Little Boy Grew to a Man. Yeah, that's not Cat Stevens, but it's Harry Nilsson, I think.
It is Chapin, if I'm saying that right. Chapin. I'm so sorry.
Chapin.
Cats in the Cradle. It's a song.
Oh, okay. Maybe not Cat Stevens, because Cat and the Cat. Mm-hmm. There we go.
Yeah.
In any case, you don't know who Ringo Starr is. Oh my God.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm showing my age, obviously, but no, I didn't know who that was.
We are, what? I'm only 2 years older than you.
Actually, okay. I might be older than you.
I'll be 34 on Friday. So,
happy early birthday. 1986?
Yes.
Okay, we're the same age.
Okay, we're the same age then. The Beatles, I mean, come on. Like, I know who the Beatles are.
I know who Sade is. I know who Maxwell is.
In any case, if you didn't know who Ringo Starr is, people, now you do. He's the drummer.
Now you do.
So with that said, let's just go a little bit further. And before we do all that, thank you guys so much for tuning into the Outlander After Show on AfterBuzz TV. I'm just going to do a very canned version of this, making us the ESPN of TV talk. As always, please follow us. Rate, subscribe, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, YouTube, LiveJournal. It's always my running joke because you shouldn't be on LiveJournal anymore. Like, come on, get out that thing. Thank you so much for tuning in, for being a fan. Hit us up on the Twitter, wherever you want, social media-wise. Just don't come to my house. And let's get back to the show. So
can I give a couple of shout-outs to people in the chat too, just really fast while we're on that? Gracie and Ryan says, I agree. It's a lot for one family. Amy A. I completely agree. I hate that about the series. And then Elizabeth Brown says, no easy times on Outlander. And then Billie Jean Girl 24 says, hello.
Hello, Billie Jean.
Hello.
Yeah. Yeah. And let me clear this up. I do know who the Beatles are. I don't know their individual names.
And all right, Ringo Starr is the drummer.
I know George that they're going back and forth type of guitar.
John Lennon,
Paul McCartney. There was one that was there early, but we don't know his name because he left before they became famous. I know a lot about the Beatles, but P.S. I don't really like their music, so I don't know why I know so much. Well, but my best friend loves them. I like the White Album.
Different strokes for different folks.
In any case, let's get to the nitty gritty of the story, which is Claire is kidnapped and assaulted by multiple men. I'm just going to lay it out, plain as day. I don't even know where to start. So I knew this was coming. I read an article that, why am I blanking her name? Katrina? Yes. Catherine.
Katrina.
What? Katrina, had done an interview where she talks about how they pulled something from a later book that was very difficult to shoot, book six.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh God, here we go. What is she talking about? So I did like a little bit of digging just to kind of prepare myself because sometimes it's not easy to watch a show about sexual assault. And in terms of how they handled it, this particular episode, like I said, I wasn't a fan. And I was particularly not a fan, though I understand why they did it, of the decision to make it solely about her being Dr. Rawlings. So how did we feel about, that was a slight change from the books where it was more of about Jamie's whiskey. This was much more directed to her, about her intervening in Lionel's life and the men of the town. And so what are our thoughts on that?
See, I thought that this fit very well, especially as, you know, we not only Lionel, but all of the men, not all of the men, because I don't want to say that as a general statement, but a lot of the men we've met in this time period, and not just season five, going back to season one, there was just a different way that certain men treated women. And so I feel like the fact that this man, Lionel, would find out that Claire is, you know, basically trying to act like a man the way that he kind of implied it when he was talking to her. I believe that in his mind, he feels he did the right thing. And so not that, obviously no one watching this is going to agree with him, but I can believe that he would be this terrible and that he would do this. And that I appreciated this storyline the way that it went. I thought it was just as believable as what we got in the book.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Lee?
Well, I believe the author, Diana, was attempting to show the brutality, of the times and how women were actually treated. And essentially, they were resenting her for a long time because she always had an opinion. She always appeared to be an authority on certain things that she was sharing with their wives and girlfriends and so forth. So I believe it just, hit a point where they were just really angry that she was attempting to displace, the values of their time with her own ideas. And they thought it was time for her comeuppance, and so the scene was obviously a bit gratuitous for my taste, but if that's, that we know that sexual assault is common, it's nothing new under the sun, as they say. Right. But I think back then it was probably even more egregious because the women weren't viewed, in the same way as men were viewed in terms of being valuable and important in society.
Angel?
The question was about that scene in particular?
Well, just with the decision to, they changed it a little bit in the books, and for the decision for them to kidnap and assault Claire was due solely to her, for her basically impersonating Dr. Rawlings and spreading information throughout the village or town.
Yeah. I mean, I felt like it's the same repetitive theme throughout each episode and throughout the show altogether. I mean, the mistreatment of women and their voices being smothered. I mean, I know even all the way from season one, people were commenting on how forward and confident Claire is, as if that was just appalling and something to be, ridiculed. But I feel like, without that type of strength, she would have been dead a long time ago. So it just speaks to her intelligence, and her becoming Dr. Rawlings. I mean, it just shows how much smarter she is. And I think that they're just quite envious. And it's understandable. The girl what can't she do?
And I think that the tipping point for Lionel came when he found out, he felt like his wife was being subordinate in his mind. Mm-hmm. And so when he found out that partially his wife was not giving him a child because of Rawlings, obviously he knew about this Rawlings person and what they were publishing in the papers. And when he found out it was Claire, he 100% blamed her for the fact that he was losing control and losing the ability to, force his wife to have a child. Mm-hmm. And I think it was a power play on his point because he couldn't stand the idea of a female actually threatening his power.
Yeah. Yeah, it all makes sense. I think it's just at the same time, I don't know. At this point, there's been so much trauma in the family. Everyone in the core family has been assaulted. And Claire, who's narrowly avoided being assaulted, when she finally is assaulted by multiple men, it just seemed, I guess what I really started to think was, why? why is this necessary? And I think we often think of, it's the brutality of the times, and that's how we kind of are able to justify it. But sometimes, I feel like there's just a better way of handling these things and a better way of discussing these things. And I didn't particularly think that. I know it's in the books, but I didn't think it was needed. I think we've dealt with so much trauma and so much PTSD in the show that I was just like, I don't know. By the end of the season, ending on this note, I was like, I'm just kind of, pardon my French, fucking exhausted. I was just like, I don't know if I want to continue down this route if this is what it's going to be majority of the time. So that's how I felt about it. But let's talk a little bit about the attack. So not the assault, but the attack, Jamie coming in and saving mm-hmm. Claire. We have them all rallying together, and Bree and Roger come back to find them assembling the troops to go and take on this group of men. Did the amount of men grow between when we first saw them and when they came to the attack? Because it seemed like they were attacking
like it did.
30 men. And I could have sworn there were only like maybe 15 of them when we were first introduced to them after they kidnapped her. So how do we feel about that? And just also the action of having it be kind of broken apart in a way that, which is probably kind of a relief, so that we weren't there for like the full assault or anything like that. But we move pretty quickly along. By the first 30 minutes, she's back home. So how do we feel just about Jamie's decision to go and to kill them all?
See, my thing was, I appreciated that it played that way, that we got the glimpse of what it was going to do to Claire. They showed some of what was happening, but they kept a lot of it off screen, which I think is very important, that that's the direction they chose to go with this, but that also they didn't make us sit in that for a very long time. Was lengthy, but they very quickly had Jamie find her. It wasn't like we had to feel the stress of her dealing with even more, as Jamie could not find her. They cut real quickly to him getting there and killing those men. And also, I think the only thing, like, this is just from a viewer perspective, not necessarily because I think they had to do it this way. I kept hoping that Claire would actually come out and say, kill them. That's just me. I know that is probably not what the writers were looking for, and I understand that, but in terms of what I was hoping for, most people are not by nature like murderous people. They are very calm, but like in that kind of situation, when those men have done that to you, thank you, Jamie, for killing them and having the rest of the crew kill them too, because that's just, sometimes there's no other, there's just people like that, like you just don't want to see them live anymore. I know, strong opinion.
No, I totally agree. Sure. Yeah. It's gonna be cool.
I think they should have made Lionel suffer a little bit longer. I thought his death was too quick. I mean, even though, you know, it sucks being stuck in the neck with a needle, but I wanted to see more torture, personally.
We want more torture, Outlander. When our girls get our guys, their assaulters, we want them to be tortured. We want their balls to be cut off and stuffed into their mouth, okay?
She was treating him like a patient, and I was like, no, I'm not going for this. So Marjorie just made my night, but at the same time, if she would have cut his penis off first and then stuck him in the neck, justice would have been served.
So one thing I did notice, when Claire went to the her operating room, she was very much struggling. I mean, she flashed back once more, and we keep in this moment, and then when she was dissociating before, we kept seeing the orange. And so I don't know if you guys remember this, but back in, I think it was season 2, when they were in Paris, and the King Louis tried to basically wanted her, like basically there was a scene where she was sort of put in a very awkward situation, not awkward, but like basically they had to, he prepositioned her. And so
indecent proposal.
And the whole thing is that at the end of the scene, she picked up an orange. And so it was definitely a callback to that. And it was callback to taking, I mean, they talked about this at the end of the episode too, but it was a callback to just being able to still remain strong and take the power, even if you did not get the upper hand, and even if you didn't get to, you know, win conventionally, you win in other ways emotionally by being the bigger person.
Lee, did you have anything to add in?
Yes. I mean, here's the thing. You know, she's a doctor. She's taken an oath, the Hippocratic Oath, you know, to do no harm, to be a healer. And so obviously there's this huge struggle within her, you know, as a woman and as a physician. And because I think her character, I think they want to obviously have the character remain consistent in that place and not to change directions, right, with how she's been portraying herself all along in the series. I think that was the right choice to make, you know, in this particular episode. But you saw the scalpel in her hand, and she was struggling. I mean, she was really wondering, you know, is it okay this one time? Just this one time to do harm to someone. And she didn't, and she remained true to her values. And of course, you know, someone else took it into their hands and decided to do it on her behalf because of her love for her. So.
Yes.
Well,
I think someone that,
in the chat. Oh, sorry.
In the chat, what?
Someone in the chat mentioned she doesn't take her oath for another 200 years. So it would have been perfectly fine to get him in.
I think, well, when we talk about that oath, I sometimes have issues with a lack of complexity. So with Claire, you know, yes, she took that oath, but at the same time, she's a human being. And as calm as human beings can be, we're also animals, and we also are prone to emotions, and we're also prone to lashing out. And a lot of the times, you know, that's inappropriate. It's an inappropriate response to have, and we do our best to contain and control those feelings. And then sometimes you just gotta cut a bitch, you know? Sometimes you just gotta slit that throat. Like, and so I'm not condoning murder, but kind of, yeah, maybe I am a little bit. Like, maybe she should have just killed him. Because if that's, you know, that's something that, I guess this is something that I appreciate about Outlander for a long time that I guess I don't appreciate about as much right now, just because it's kind of like happening too much. But that's something that experience will be a part of Claire for the rest of her life. And as much as it might, you know, she's like, I don't want this to shatter me, and it shouldn't shatter her. It's okay to be like, you know what? I cannot be okay with this person going on with their life, thinking that they're right. Just like what Marcelli said, like, I just can't allow for this man who thinks I'm no better than like something under his boot to keep going on. And sorry, my cat's doing his weird ass thing. Don't do that right now. And I think you know, I've been assaulted. And when I think back to the person who did that to me, if I saw him get run over by a bus, I wouldn't blink an eye and I'd keep walking. So like, so, you know, that's,
yeah.
And, but at the same time, I don't want to go out there hurting people. I don't, you know, I believe in saving people, but there is a complexity and a way that you're able to justify certain actions that you kind of have to allow that in people. And I know that's morally complex, and we don't really like talking about the darker sides of ourselves, but I, you know, it's just like, I understand why they didn't give it to Claire, but I was grateful that they gave it to Brie, because I was like, that's just something that I think for most women who have been assaulted, if you placed us in the room with our assaulter and you said, you can do whatever you want, only one person will walk out of that room alive. And that's like not something that we talk about publicly. And it's more about forgiving and moving on and understanding them as a person. But there's a feral part of you that doesn't want to do that. And I wish, you know, maybe we'll get that in season six, but I wish they kind of touched on that a little bit more. So
yeah. The thing with Claire too, is that she obviously wanted to do something terrible to him, but then mm-hmm. she knew to walk away, and all of her, everything that she was feeling, she just let it out, and she went and she cried, and she just allowed herself to sit in that moment and heal and just let it out and grieve what had happened to her. So she made a really wise choice and was able to take control for a moment and just kind of, you know, take a breath. She knew how she was feeling would not end well for her, because at the end of the day, she has to live with the choices that she makes. And for her, she knows how that would make her feel to disobey mm-hmm. that oath that she's taken. Even if she hasn't taken it yet, to her, she has taken it. And that's something that, yeah. And not to say that she has not broken it in the past. Because,
yeah, I was about to say, didn't Claire kill somebody like season one?
Yeah, yeah. But
I'm pretty sure she's killed people.
And even when she went back to Edinburgh, I mean, it's the same kind of, it's the same situation though, where she went back and it was the guy who basically tried to attack her in the room and in the whorehouse. And she literally, in defense, ended up knocking him out, but then she needed to try and save him. So same kind of idea there, where she's still trying to keep her oath, but obviously she's been in some situations where she's just had to cause harm.
Stephen Bonnet, didn't she tell Bree to shoot him when she had the gun? I'm just gonna say, like, it was a weird moment. It was a weird decision to make that the choice for her to do the do no harm. She was gang raped by multiple men, led by the charge of this man who told them to do it, who told them to kidnap her. And there's so many times where we've let the do no harm thing slide, and we didn't let it slide this episode. And that just kind of made no sense to me that this is the moment. Got a cat walk in the background. This is the moment where she's going to be like, you know what? That oath, though. I mean, she was like, kill Captain Jack. She was like, kill Stephen Bonnet. Like, but Lionel, like, piece of shit Lionel? Yeah. No. But anyways, any final thoughts on that before we, like, let's talk about Marcelly and that hemlock, because I'm always here for a nice herbal death. the first thing you learn in herbalism is all the plants you shouldn't mess with, and so California is filled with a bunch of poisonous plants that can kill your husband, just letting you know.
News you can use.
Hemlock grows here as well. Nightshades are prominent, but Marcelly's decision, I was like, somebody's got to kill this man, and I do not want it to be Jamie. Like, I respect that, you know, during this time it was about him going to reclaim his wife and honor and blah 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 blah, but I'm always here for women being allowed to confront men. And so to have Marcelly do it, to just be like, you know what, I'm gonna stick this needle deep in a part of your body where it definitely should not be, because needles in the neck is never good. And just watch you be poisoned. I'm sure it would take a little bit longer than that, but I was here for it. I'm not going to lie. I appreciated that Marcelly stepped up to the plate and was like, I cannot allow this to happen. Like, we literally killed everyone but you, but the one person that should definitely be dead in this moment for the times. How do we feel about Marcelly's decision?
Well, I'm just going to say that the book did it in a much more interesting, well, you know, okay. So like, Angel, you know how you said that you wish it had been a little more painful?
Yes.
Well, I'll just say this now. In the book, he's actually smothered by a pillow. And so, yeah. A little more drawn out, but I do love the fact that, I guess I shouldn't use the word love when it comes to death, but
I've said horrible things on this podcast that'll come back someday. They're like, you're so dark and evil, Adrian. I'm like, I'm just complex, y'all. go ahead.
The fact that Marsley was the one to do it, and you know, really, like, you know, the fact that she's like, well, Claire may have taken an oath, but I did not. I think that we can all say that Marsley was all of us in that moment. Oh, yeah. So at least me, anyway, that would have been how I handled it, because, yeah, screw the oath.
Yeah. Ellie?
Well, while I personally don't believe in an eye for an eye, you know, I've had situations in my own family where someone's life was taken. So mm-hmm. I can speak to that. But this is Hollywood, and Hollywood is always looking for the drama. So it didn't surprise me that Marcelle took it into her own hands, literally, because of her love and loyalty to Claire. It didn't surprise me at all that she felt she needed to do that to avenge her friend.
Yeah.
Angel?
I can't remember the husband's name, but it was a few episodes ago where he was abusing the wife that was pregnant. And he was, like, basically in the attic, wasting away.
Oh, right. Yeah, with so the stroke.
That would have been justice for Lionel to die in a much more rickety way. Like, I really wish it didn't happen so suddenly and with a simple little needle, you know. I don't know. Drug behind a horse would have been great.
Well, I think what we're all trying to say, except for Lee, is that if we lived in a different time and we could get away with killing men who had wronged us, we'd probably do it. But here in 2020, I firmly believe in the law and the ability for the law to enforce justice. That's what I believe in. Putting that on the record. But in any case, yeah, I appreciate that Marcelle kind of stepped in for Claire, because as much as she can say, you know, do no harm, and as much as she would have attempted to save that man's life, that man made it clear in his talking to Marcelle that it was never going to end. It's just like, even with Captain Jack, you know, eventually you kind of have to understand when something's never going to end, when people are just going to insist on being a burden or attempting to harm you in some way. And, you know, in this day and age, we have a legal system that usually will step in to intervene for people who are like that. And they can be put away in prison, or they can get a restraining order. And a lot of the times, and what we don't talk about is that they don't get put away. And a lot of the times they relentlessly torture that person till they kill that person, which is also a very common thing. So if Lionel wasn't doing it to Claire, he would have been doing it to his wife. And he probably would have beaten his wife to death had Marcelle not intervened and stabbed him in the neck with some nice water hemlock. Hemlock is a great poison for those who are thinking about murder. I'm joking. It's not. Don't do it. You can't find it anywhere. You don't know what it looks like. Don't talk. Don't listen to me. But in any case, we all know that hemlock's bad for you. I think looking at the bigger picture of what Lionel could have done to other people, and this is also something that we touched on even in this day and age of, like, when, and not to at all victim shame, but when we go silent when somebody assaults us, there is that fear of, like, well, does my silence lead to another person being assaulted? You know, and I understand that Claire has an oath, but at the same time, Lionel was vile enough to justify him being sent to jail. You know, if Stephen Bonnet was vile enough for them to be like, we have to make sure that he is prosecuted in the court of law and that he will be sentenced to death. Like, so I'm not saying that that should be the case, that if somebody's vile, they should be sentenced to death. But I think that if we had had maybe another episode I'm not saying I want another episode of her like being assaulted, but just like an additional episode to really like watch Claire go through the process of making that decision. I would have appreciated that complexity, because we see her do it so many different times where she contemplates, you know, if this person's worth saving or not. And for her to not do it in this instance was just odd. So this episode, I've said some crazy crap. I cannot wait for the sound bites to come back and hit me later in life.
Especially if they're taken out of context.
Oh yeah. Hemlock is a great way to kill people. That's there you go. Take it. But in any case, do you have any final thoughts before we wrap up this season and this episode? Anything from the chat?
There's a lot from the chat, but I just want to say, yeah, there's too many comments to read, unfortunately, because there's so much of a conversation going on. Mm-hmm. I just want to say really fast, between the books and the show, one thing that I absolutely loved is that we did get that final line in the book that we see in the show, which is basically Jamie, not, this is not verbatim, but basically Jamie saying that if I love you are not the last words he says to Claire, it's because he did not have enough time. And that is how they end the Fiery Cross. And so much different ending otherwise. Stephen Bonnet is not taken care of, but I've already kind of mentioned that in other episodes that we've done. So I'll just say that the only other thing I want to say is that final shot that we got with Jamie and Claire wrapped up in each other and basically mm-hmm. him comforting her and being mm-hmm. there for her. I don't think I'm ever going to forget that final moment mm-hmm. because it was just that powerful to me. And it was like at the end of the day, yes, like she has been through some unspeakable things, especially the last couple of episodes, but she ended up in her safe place with Jamie. And that to me is a very happy ending mm-hmm. for season 5.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, yeah. I appreciated that final shot, because I think it also spoke to like how people feel like post assault of, do you feel sexual? Do you feel comfortable being seen nude or, you know, in a vulnerable state? And to have her, because they even spoke about that with Jamie, about his discomfort and how he felt after he had been assaulted. So for them to kind of touch on that and for them to just be holding each other, I thought was really nice as well. And they didn't, you know, try to hide the fact that she had gone through something and there were bruises on her body. But it was nice to see that, because sometimes I feel like that's handled poorly as well.
Yes.
Oh, and then am I crazy? And the chat might know, but did the things that Jamie said after he got to Claire about you are here and you're a whole, is that not exactly what she said to him when she found him after the Cats and Jack?
Yeah, it's very similar. And like, yeah. For anyone who doesn't remember, after Captain Jack, Jamie actually, he couldn't touch Claire. He didn't want to be around mm-hmm. her. Like he went into shell mm-hmm. shock, which is understandable. Like that is, you know, everyone handles abuse differently. And so, mm-hmm. but it's just, to me, it was almost a callback, except for the fact that Claire did obviously handle it a little differently. She was still mm-hmm. processing, still in shock, but she was also, you know, she was just different way of handling it. And, but yeah, it was definitely a callback to something she had said to him.
Nice. All right. Well, we kind of did page to screen. Was there anything else that you wanted to fill in there, or we can just go straight into predictions?
I would say let's go to predictions, because everything different that I'd have to say is probably, like I've mentioned it already in other episodes, and there's a lot that I don't want to say because we will probably see it next season.
Yeah. All right, then let's go into predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Here we go. I think I might have timed out, or I just look really weird. All right. Lee, do you have any predictions for season 6?
I have to say, at this point, you know, I think that the only thing that I'm really seeing is that the whole family is going to go through just a complete and total healing process. I think it's time for that. I think we've seen a lot of assault, as you said.
Yeah.
Several episodes. I think it's time for something fresh and new. And I think it's time for the family to really be restored. And that's what I see coming, you know, from the next episode, just a time of peace before the war comes, where they can gather together and just really heal as a family unit.
Mm. Yeah. Angel?
I think that this, like Lee said, there will be a calm before the storm. We're going to find ourselves some new villains since we killed them all off. And I think that Roger and Bree will not stay in that time period. I think they will try to go through the stones again.
Okay. Rachel?
So I know what, okay, I'm just going to say what I don't know and what I think they're going to, you know, do with the show. I think that, I mean, they got rid of the Bonnet plotline already, so I feel like they're going to go in the direction of everything that's leading up to the problems with the war. There's going to be a lot more with William that we're going to see. And I think that we're not going to get a lot of time to really have those calmer moments with Jamie and Claire. So I agree with Lee and Angel that it is the calm before the storm, hence the thunder and just everything that's kind of like foreshadowing what is about to happen. And things only getting worse with the Browns now that Jamie has, you know, gone to them and said, hey, this is what I had to do. But the threat of, well, you know, Richard Brown's threat of, okay, well, you had to do this. Great. Well, in the future, there are things I might have to do. And so I know that that's going to come back into play.
Ugh, pride. I mean, I will say that I did appreciate that he honored the fact that his brother reaped what he sowed, you know, so you get what you give. But at the same time, when he said that at the end, I was like, oh, can we not? Can we just have one person be like, you know what? It is what it is. It's all good.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Any case, I think, yeah, it'll be definitely a calm before the storm of the American Revolution and all the nonsense that comes with that. I mean, no, it was a great thing. 1776 was a great year. I don't know. It's a lot to take in. I hope we kind of figure out what's going on with Ian and get a little bit more time with him to figure out the episode with him. So in any case, you guys, thank you so much for tuning in to season 5 of Outlander After Show and After Buzz TV. I'm Adrienne Snow. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram. I'm Miss Adrienne Snow. Rachel, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Rach Goodman or on my author Instagram account at Rachel Radner Author. If you are a fan of Clueless and Shakespeare, you can actually catch me tomorrow live. I'm playing Ty with it's called The Show Must Go Online. Oh, yeah. You can find them on YouTube. Yeah, I'm playing Ty in The Taming of Clueless.
Nice. Angel?
Oh, you guys can find me on Instagram under Angel Taylor _.
And Lee.
You can find me on all social media platforms on Twitter at Lee Broadway, Instagram at 50+_and_ at fabulous. I don't know that I said that right, but you can also type in my name and you can find me. And of course on Facebook under my name, Lee Broadway.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. And we will see you possibly maybe see how the world goes in 2021.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.